G-70, Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. In the seconds after Emma gently touched Piper's thumb and finger together and held them in place, attempting to engage whatever form of uplift power had somehow remained or returned, nothing happened. Emma pointed the baby's hand directly at Leisha and made sure her index finger was extended too, but still, nothing happened. Leisha nodded, as though relieved, but Emma proceeded to point at everyone else in turn. Each confirmed one by one that they were hearing nothing. Last of all, Emma pointed her amused-looking child's hand at herself. One more time, nothing happened. Before anyone spoke, Emma kissed Piper on the head. She then lifted the small square fabric patch from her thigh and quickly but carefully placed it on the back of the baby's neck. Immediately, everyone heard a stream of words that made vague sense on their own and sometimes in small combinations, but which didn't add up to anything meaningful. Leisha was untroubled, unlike last time, but his expression reflected intense wonder at the depth of the child's thoughts. Piper smiled very widely, silently hearing cheerful words from her Aunt Tara in particular. Everyone then heard the baby very clearly and very deliberately say,
"Antata,"
without moving her lips or making a sound. Tara's smile was now even wider than Piper's.
"That's right. Aunt Tata. Tara. That's me."
"I'm going to take it off now," Emma said, reaching to remove Piper's patch. She didn't hesitate, so didn't experience any fleeting moment of concern that it might not come off easily. It did. Effortlessly, in fact. But the end result was a slightly upset child.
"That's not good for you," she said gently, kissing Piper again. "Soon you'll be able to say every word you can think of and talk to us about everything, out loud, just like everyone else."
"Yeah, we don't want her getting too used to that," Dan agreed. "It could interfere with her speech development, I guess. But since we couldn't hear anything until she had the patch..." "Whatever she still has isn't telepathy?" Clark finished, impatiently jumping in as Dan trailed off.
"It's not telepathy," Leisha confirmed, his demeanor suddenly looking more than a little glum in noticeable contrast to the apparent relief he had exhibited when this reality became clear a minute or so earlier.
"Which means, since she knew I arrived in Buenos Aires when I did, and knew we were all coming here a few seconds before we got here, it's something else. It's not telepathy as we understand it, but there is a power within the child that should not be there."
Emma covered her own eyes with her palm and roughly massaged her forehead with her fingers.
"Great," she sighed. "So all we have to do is cure her of a power we don't even understand."
Isn't this what we wanted to happen?" Clark asked. "I know none of this is ideal, obviously, but we didn't want to hear anything until she was wearing the patch. Did we?"
With Emma still staring at the inside of her own hand, and apparently taking a break from spoken conversation, Tara shrugged theatrically.
"I guess the upside of that would have been that at least we'd have known what it was and could maybe have looked for powerful uplifter devices that could have taken it away without hurting her. Now we're kind of stuck on square one."
"Try square zero," Emma chimed in. "Or square minus one."
"Being negative won't get us anywhere,"
Tara shot back more sharply than intended and without even trying for a negativity-related pun on the square minus one comment. Emma shook her head, wrestling with dejection rather than trying to be argumentative or overly downbeat.
"Do you know what the absolute worst thing is that's going to make dealing with this even harder? And Leisha, I don't mean this in a bad way, but your species didn't even create any of the uplifter devices, and you didn't develop any of the powers. Those architects did it all and dumped it on you. Then you passed the disease to Dan and we passed it on to Piper. If there was anyone in the universe who could know how to fix this and whatever other kind of powers she might have that could make her a target for the crazies out there, it's the species who deserve less trust than anyone we'd ever imagined until we found out about them."
Dan, Tara, and Leisha conspicuously exchanged a series of triangulated glances that Emma and Clark couldn't miss.
"About that,"
Tara said, taking it upon herself to be the trio's spokesperson.
Our news that Leisha rushed to Buenos Aires to tell us is that the messengers just found something on New Kerguelen. You know the gate that takes them instantly between their world and Earth? Well, they just found another gate, and they think it's the only one that leads to the architect's world. There are so many dangers involved in even thinking about going through.
Leisha, Emma interrupted.
5 minutes ago, Dan said you told him you would do whatever it takes to help Piper, to make her human and let her live a normal life. If nothing else gets us anywhere and her powers grow.
The alien hesitated, harrowed by the thought of crossing the gate and almost certainly encountering the powerful race who had effectively enslaved his own for millennia. He felt regret for having made such a bold proclamation to Dan. But Emma's expression was best described as desperate rather than anything closer to demanding, and the innocently smiling child on her lap made him feel a guilt more intense than any he had known before it. If Leisha and Sacco hadn't granted Dan the uplift powers when they did, none of this would have happened. The alien knew this very well and also understood that while his human friends, by now almost more of a family, were too polite to ever blame him in such explicit terms, they must have felt like doing so.
I made a promise to Dan and Tara that I would do everything in my power to ensure Piper will grow up to live a normal and happy life, he replied, stoically and to the point. Even cross the gate? Emma asked. If you can, I mean. You would even go through that gate, or take one of us?
Whoa there, Clark butted in. Let's slow down and think about what— With no more than a firmly extended hand, Emma cut Clark off.
Leisha?
She then prodded.
I promised I would do everything in my power, Leisha stressed, avoiding Clark's suddenly stern gaze. And Emma, a promise I make is a promise I keep.